Gentlemen, I give you science in action.
The Driven Move Podcast. Hey everybody, it's that time again for the Driven Youth Podcast with our host, Pastor Eric Howder. And now, here's Pastor Eric.
So many preachers, so many churches and denominations got their opinions and the documents and statements.
All right, everyone, welcome back. So many churches and denominations and opinions.
Yep.
I like that.
I love the intro.
The intro is great.
Yeah, I made that.
It's true. So it's truth. You know,
it speaks to me, man.
Sometimes we have our opinions here.
Yep. But there's so many denominations, and sometimes there's just not a unity.
And the lack of unity in the Christian church,
but
the body of Christ, you know, is supposed to be many parts of the body working together. Yeah. And sometimes I think the left arm. It's gone one way, the right arm's gone the other way, and then
we're going to talk about a similar situation, yes, aren't we?
Yeah, cancel culture and Christianity.
Oh no,
it's a topic that I'll be honest with you, Mike.
Yeah,
I didn't even know what the word cancel culture meant about a year ago.
Yeah, who ever heard of it, right?
But before we get to that, we have a cool song. It's a new song I like. She's a younger artist. I think she's 19 or 20. I first heard this song probably a few weeks ago, and I was like, man, I really like that song.
Yeah.
And somebody that's not real musical, you know, I'm not real picky on my songs, but this one really, you know, kind of resonated and just listened to the words. And there's a story behind this song, and we can get to it after we play it, but it's Annie Wilson. It's called My Jesus.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go on to if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Tell you about my Jesus. Oh,
he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. I know that he can do for you what he's done for me.
right. My Jesus.
Yeah. Great song, man.
Cool song. So you got a couple other songs. I encourage you guys to check them out. They're pretty good. But a little bit of backstory on this song. Several years ago, her older brother was killed in a traffic crash.
Oh, yeah.
And she grew up, she wanted to go work for NASA. Like we all wanted to work for NASA at a certain point of our age, but she wanted to work, for NASA. And that was her goal.
Astronaut or an engineer?
I think just to work for NASA. And that was her goal. And, she woke up, about real early in the morning and, the police were at her home and her parents.
Give the news.
Right. Yeah. Give the news and her parents were heartbroken and, you know, and she made that decision then, you know, in the next few days, you know, that there's a purpose. God has a purpose. And,
yep.
You know, and I think we all come to that point in our life at different situations where we can, you know, go this way and fall into despair and whatever and fall away from God, or we can, you know, cling on to him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's talking about my Jesus and it resonates a lot because, you know, there's a point in my life in my early 20s, you know, when, you know, I was broken and just last straw essentially. And that's what I clung to and not knowing anything about Jesus and actually hating God and having that spirit just come over me and just asking Christ, Jesus into my life, you know, it resonates, you know, you get to that point to where, you know, it's either this way, you know, or you realize that, you know, Jesus, my Jesus is there, and the words in that song just resonate, and they're so true. Some songs you listen to by an artist, a Christian artist, and you're wondering, have they read the Bible, or you know, or have they listened to people, you know, have they listened to a sermon at all in their life, and it might be a great tune or some cool beats, but you know, there's some songs you listen to the words, and they just kind of. Mm-hmm. You know, hit home, and
this is really, really Christ-centered, man.
Right, right.
You know, so many artists, like you were talking about, want to have crossover hits.
Right, exactly.
You know, but
exactly
being Christ-centered, that's what God wants from us, right?
And being Christ-centered is so important. That's funny you brought that up. I was discussing a while back with a couple, a married couple, and I'm like, your marriage has to be Christ-centered.
Yeah.
You want to revolve around Christ and your life around Christ. Mm-hmm. You don't want to, you know, be the center and have, you know, thinking Jesus revolves around you, because that's
right. That doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen. But anyway, today is cancel culture and Christianity. Love the topic.
We're doing
just
it.
Just kidding.
We're doing it. Go ahead and cancel us right
cancel
now
us
before
right
we
now,
get
but,
going.
But anyhow, you know. like I said, I didn't even know what cancel. Is that a new word they invented? You know, they seem to just invent
words.
It's
one of those things that, like, in the 2021 revision of the dictionary, they're going to have cancel culture.
So I had to look up the exact definition of cancel culture.
What is it, man?
Cancel culture, according to the Cambridge English Dictionary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Is when a way of behaving in a society or group, especially on social media, in which it is common to completely reject and stop supporting someone because they have said or done something that offends you. So essentially, you know, we're appointing ourselves the arbiters of right and wrong, and also the judge and jury. So if you say something I don't like, Mike, I can, you know.
That's extremely dangerous, too, for Christians, man, to be like that, but.
So, what's our reflection of? Does it affect Christianity? I mean, we see how it affects some things in culture that maybe, you know, Christians follow. Maybe certain political people or certain maybe conservative TV actors or actresses or musicians. I want to show you how Christians themselves cancel other Christians. I have two examples. The one is Amy Grant.
Amy Grant.
Amy Grant.
The Christian artist from 1970.
I don't think she's that old, but 1990s. I mean, well known.
Yeah, yeah.
Been around forever. I think there's even a connection with Mercy Me, maybe with.
They were going to sell her.
Sell
they wrote
her
that
the song for Ira.
What is it? What song?
The most popular song in the world, the Christian world. We can't remember.
Man. Hey,
I imagine, right?
I've had malaria 10 times. I can't remember my last name.
And I'm just not that intelligent. So
you're
that's
right.
My excuse.
It was, I can only imagine.
I can only imagine.
They were going to sell it to her.
Right.
She gave it back.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, here, you have it back.
They were songwriters back then. They didn't perform as a band and.
Right.
Right. And she said, no, man, this is a hit. You got to do it.
But Amy Grant, and this is before the internet kind of became popular and was like a daily sensation like we see it now. But Amy Grant got a divorce. And many in the church community responded negative and in an uproar towards her over the radio. The print, which I guess would be newspaper and magazines.
Newspaper. Who gets a newspaper?
I saw a newspaper box the other day. So somebody still gets a
little
newspaper.
Yellow box, man.
So Christian voices on the radio, and there used to be this thing called talk shows.
Yeah.
Where people would have a certain set time. Well, you're familiar with it.
Yeah.
But they would have Christian talk shows, and I can vaguely remember it. And people would call in and, you know, it'd be like in an uproar, don't listen to her music anymore.
Yeah.
You know,
cancel her.
They wanted to cancel then Amy Grant.
Wow.
And it's essentially Christians canceling other Christians. And I'm thinking, is that right? I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts on that?
No, it's not right, man.
But we see it.
You can't justify that. Yeah. Let me just ask you. We have the Trinity, right?
Right.
Not the, what would four be? Like the quarinity?
The quadrant? Right.
We're not a part of that.
Thankfully.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm not one of those. So I got no business in this. I got no skin in this fight. Is that what they say? What's the
thing? I think it's close enough, but we're not the judge.
No.
And we're not
no.
the jury.
There's some things we've got to be careful of.
Right.
And we got to recognize that, you know, we got to stick with some winners and stuff. But yeah.
And the other example I have is just recently, a few years ago, Lauren Daigle.
Love Lauren Daigle.
We've played a few of her songs on this podcast, you know, quite frequently.
We both like her a lot.
She's rather popular in the Christian artist community. It's crossed over a little bit into some secular radio as well. And she was in trouble being canceled a few years ago by Christians. And 2018, she came under fire for performing on the Ellen DeGeneres show. And of course, we know Ellen is an openly gay woman.
Uh-huh.
Host.
I like the Ellen show. I'm sorry, but go ahead and cancel me.
Hosting the.
If there's anybody that can bring me before the church and, you know,
but
talk about heresy.
But Lauren Daigle went on and performed on the show, and many Christians became horrified,
hostile. Man.
Not only that she had the willingness to go on the show, but also that she didn't seem to condemn. The show itself or Ellen. She was, seemed to be accepting of, or maybe, you know, being, you know,
tolerant
or good natured towards Ellen. And
that's how you win people over, dude.
So my question there, and you're right. I don't want to get away from that point.
You don't win them over by condemning them and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, Jesus, you know, didn't come into this world to condemn us.
Right.
And I'm wondering in the people that were in the uproar, and again, I can faintly remember this happening. They essentially wanted a line drawn in the sand to where Lauren Daigle would, you know, condemn Ellen and her openness of being gay. And I don't know what's the difference being openly gay or you're secretly gay. That's not for us, again, to be judge and jury. We're not in the process of condemning people. You know, we want people to hear the message of Christ. And, yeah. and when we start condemning people and canceling people because of whatever, yeah. you know, how's that open them up to the message of the gospel?
We lose an open door.
We lose an open door. You know, yeah. when a door shuts, who knows when it
opens again. Now, I've had situations, rare situations where people who, you know, were involved in that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And they asked, specifically, they asked me, you know, one of them, for example, had a sister.
Okay.
Who rejected her. Hardcore Christian, said, you know, I don't want nothing to do with you. My kids aren't, you know, because, all of this stuff because they, she was a lesbian.
Okay.
And she asked me, she said, you know, Mike, why is my sister like that?
Mm-hmm.
And what does the Bible say about it? What is, you know, so I got my Bible out and I read what the Bible says. It was a really awkward situation.
Right.
But, you know, if we're in a situation where we can lead people and we can give them the scripture, then we do it. If not, you know.
But you had the word of God there. Right. You had the word of God to show. And I think we went through too many generations where kids grow up and they get shown it's one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
A line does get drawn in the sand and, you know, yes, homosexuality, abortion, many other things are sinful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are sinful creatures.
Yeah.
I mean, we're a fallen world. When we start drawing that line in the sand and condemning people and not associating with people, well, listen, Jesus, you know, spoke to the woman at the well, and that was a no-no.
Yeah.
I mean, I think sometimes we don't understand the context of that, event in the Bible, the magnitude of it.
He stooped down.
He stooped down
to lift people up.
Right. And that specific part of the Bible, if we would just kind of, if we were there and imagine and see the magnitude and culture, you know, of what he did, I think it would really open our minds and our eyes to see that, you know, we need to stoop down to raise people up.
Yep.
We can't be almighty and have our heads held high, because who do we see then?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you're right. And it's sad.
But
you have a
cancel. Yeah, I got a Bible verse I was going to share, you know, because if you're suffering from this, if you're dealing with somebody canceling you, and it could be friends, it could be on social media, it could be, you know, in different areas of your life, man. But
simply because you are a certain way.
Yep.
You know, and that person has judged you as right or wrong, and they have canceled you.
We should be bold. We should be bold about our witness,
right,
and about who we are. But we're gonna run across people who are seriously opposed.
Seriously, just imagine real quick, you know, of the people we run into daily that we don't even know the sinful things they've done in their life.
That's right.
Yet we have no problem, you know, being jovial with them or communicating with them. It's when the sin comes out. As Christians, we tend to want to cancel them instead of, you know, show them, listen, this is the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, this is the message of Christ. We want you to hear it. We don't want to shut you out from it. We want, you know, there's joy and hope in the eternal promise of having that life with Christ.
Uh-huh.
You know, we want you to hear it.
Yeah.
And it's sad, but go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Let me read this. This is Psalm 37. This is a psalm for people who are suffering through some of this stuff and suffering through, you know, being judged and having to confront evil.
Okay.
Especially in other people and dealing with that. So this is a psalm that I prayed through like every single day.
Okay.
You know, for a month when I was on the mission field, because I was in a situation where I was being attacked by another missionary. Okay. And so it was a real trial. And I spent a lot of time on my knees just reading through it. And that's a prayer. You know, we can sit and read through the scripture.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Anyway, so I'm going to read. I'm not going to read the whole psalm because, you know, it's long, but I'm going to read a few verses. Psalm 37, verse 1, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Here's the answer to that. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. There you go. Enough said, man.
Amen.
That's a message to, right. You know, there's righteous people out there. I saw this, I don't know, somewhere, this sign that said, the truth sounds like hate to those who hate the
Amen.
Truth.
Yes. That's so true.
So, you know, wow. We've gone through this. Many churches have gone through this with same-sex marriage issues, you know. No, we won't. We won't make a cake for them. Right. We won't, you know, we won't marry them in our church. And people have had to change bylaws.
A lot of hate is shown to that specific church or business or whatever.
And people in the church are that way too. But, you know, what's happened is, you know, we have the truth of the gospel.
Right.
And there's some people that hate the truth. And, you know, we become...
bigots or whatever.
I mean, anything. I don't know. Have you ever had a time when you were going to post something on social media and you thought, I don't know if I should do this, you know?
A time? Multiple times.
But at this time in our culture, we should be bold with our love of Jesus and our support of the gospel.
Because, again, we're not judge. We're not the jury. We're not here to condemn, you know. Mm-hmm. God is the final judge. Yeah. And Christ gives us a mission, gives us the great commission, you know. And we start canceling people because we don't, you know, we look at their sin as being, oh, we're going to be unclean if we go around them. Mm-hmm. Then we've got a problem. Then we become isolationists, and then we're just hanging out with other Christians, and then the Great Commission, we're not really fulfilling the last chapter in the Gospel of Matthew.
And maybe we should be getting canceled. You know, I remember a friend of mine, I worked in the psychiatric hospitals. Mm-hmm. I've told you that before, and I was fired from one hospital.
Okay,
because. I didn't agree with some of the stuff that they did. Mm-hmm. I'd worked there for several years. And one day, security showed up at my office.
Time to go, huh?
Yeah, with this little trolley thing. And they said, load your stuff up on here and leave, you know? And they walked me out to my car.
So you got canceled.
Yeah. And so this was a place where the wrong people had the keys.
Okay.
You know, the people on the wrong side. And they were nuts. And I remember a friend of mine who was a psychiatrist, and he said to me, you know, Mike, if you'd never been fired from a job, maybe you haven't lived up to your ideals.
And that there's truth to that.
You know.
Right.
And your values.
Well, that's...
So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying go get fired from a job or anything, but it may be... If we haven't got canceled somehow,
then
we haven't
not
lived
being
up to our values.
Because there are ways to share, you know, the truth of God to someone that is homosexual without, you know, coming off, you know, angry or mean or putting them to the side, you know. And if you don't understand how to do it, maybe that's not your calling, but there are people that are, you know, there is a way to do it without putting people off. You know, there's a family member on my wife's side who we are a complete stark opposite politically. I'm conservative. She's not.
Right. Values wise.
Value wise. As far as abortion issues, and yet we have the best conversations because, you know, we don't get angry. You know, we both express our sides of it. You know, mine's the truth. I mean, you know, and that's explained to her, you know, that this is what the Bible said. This is God's truth. You know, this is, you know, I pray one day that her eyes will be open.
Yeah.
And what's it say about God's word? It doesn't come back void and empty. And I honestly believe that. And we toss the seeds and that's all we can do. And if we start canceling people as Christians that don't, you know, agree with us and we shut them out of not even tossing seeds.
Yeah.
You know, then the mission, I think, of Christ and the Great Commission of sharing it to all people, it's a troubling issue.
Yeah.
And I have a scripture.
All right.
Second Corinthians. Now we know the church in Corinth, you know, the first letter, Paul kind of, you know, tells them how it is. You know, they're having some issues in Corinth, and
they ain't right.
Probably not too much different.
That boy ain't right.
Probably not too much different than a lot of situations we have currently. But this is in Second Corinthians, and it's kind of in Paul's integrity, and it's chapter 1, verse 12. For our proud confidence is this: the testimony of our conscience that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. Paul's speaking to the Corinthians. You know, holiness and God.
Booyah kasha!
You know,
he nails them.
That's what he puts. If he had a mic,
he drops the bomb
and walks away in his flip flops and robe.
Because he led by example.
He led by example.
It wasn't just integrity. What he said, what his word, you know.
Right. He didn't say one thing.
Example.
He didn't say one thing.
Integrity, I've been told, is doing the right thing even when
nobody's watching. That's important. You know, he didn't preach on a Sunday morning, you know, and then Monday he's out doing the complete opposite. Uh-huh. You know, people could see him. I tell my youth this, you know, evangelism. Uh-huh. Your best evangelism tool is how you act daily and how you show.
How you live your life,
And live your life in a godly manner.
Yeah.
That's your number one, your best evangelism tool. And that's for really everybody, how we interact with people daily.
Yeah.
But Mike, I know you love ending in prayer. You have anything? Yeah, well, man. Anything before that? You have anything?
No, man. I just, this is an issue that we're dealing with socially right now. I'm disgusted with social media, but I have to be a part of it because I do the live stream for the church, and I have to have an account on, you know,
on Facebook.
One of the,
right.
Yeah. I'm not going to say their name because
I just did.
I hate
Facebook.
But if it wasn't for that, I'd be off of it right now.
Right.
I was part of the cancel culture that canceled my.
You canceled.
I canceled my Twitter account.
Okay.
Which, you know, who tweets, man? What is it, you know? It's kind of like getting stamps and mailing letters now. But this is something that we deal with. And as Christians, the Bible says we are going to deal with that. We're going to suffer because, you know, of
our values and our life and our commitment and devotion to Him. And if we're not suffering, then maybe we need to reflect on how we're living and what our values are.
Yeah, how come?
You know, and where we're placing our time and effort is.
Yeah.
You know.
Let's pray, man. Important. If you're suffering from this, just know you're not alone.
Right.
Read Psalm 37, man.
Amen.
And Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for caring for us, and for giving us boldness with the gospel. Help us to share you with the rest of the world. Help us to live like you. Help us to be examples like Paul was. And that people would see you in us in our lives. Cross our paths with folks who need to hear about you, man, and give us the boldness and the words to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for tuning in to the weekly
Driven Youth Podcast
with Pastor Eric Halter. Our Driven Youth Group gets together each and every Sunday at 9:15 a.m. and 6 p.m., and we'd love to have you visit. If you enjoy the show or have ideas for future shows, send us an email at drivenyouthpodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to visit the church, check us out at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.